I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with Coach Brandon Lumberg of Football Scout 365.
What's up? We are getting some good views on our YouTube video that we did last week.
I watched the first 5 minutes of it. I'm going to finish it today. It actually turned out pretty well. I was surprised.
Hey, I told you, like, I know how to cut things and make it sound better.
Look decent on camera for just rolling out of bed.
Hey, and it's all good. And we're going to have another one. I think we're going to try to record tomorrow if you can.
Yeah.
We're going to do Kenny Pickett, the Pittsburgh quarterback, tomorrow. I just have to cut the clips and go over all that. So, yeah. And I've already built out probably 10 more players that we're going to go over. So we're going to do at least one player by position. That way we can go through.
I've read a couple scouting reports on Kenny Pickett. Tell me if this is what I've gathered so far. Above average on reads, like quickness of being able to reads, slightly above average mobility.
But he does use it well. What he does. Yeah.
And then talent and arm strength average.
Yep. That's how I feel about a lot of the guys in general.
There's no special arms in this class.
Yeah, it's not, we're not going to be blown away by that, but I think that Pickett, he's starting to win me over just slightly to be maybe the number one quarterback in this class. But I mean, we're not really picking from completely elite prospects, so to speak. We don't have one guy like that right now. So
no one really stepped up. I mean, a lot of people thought it'd be Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, and I wasn't buying that. I wasn't ready to say that yet. Now he's going to transfer out of Oklahoma.
Did you see the list?
I know USC was on it.
No, they're not on the list.
They're not on it now.
Out of like 10 teams.
Maybe that was the list.
Arizona State.
Okay. Well, that's
at the top of his list. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these guys go back to whoever was recruiting him initially.
Yeah. Let's start off a little bit of news, Brandon. Seahawks pick up Adrian Peterson, who'd been cut from the Tennessee Titans. They're just flailing at this point. Like, Alex Collins has looked like trash, literal garbage fire.
Just, and you're bringing in
plastic. Yeah,
you're bringing in a 36-year-old running back to try to help you out.
Yeah, I mean, he's what their offense calls for: 3 yards in a cloud of smoke. Just
running right into
out.
The back of the offensive lineman, and
that Rashad
hope Penny he falls forward for a yard.
Takes a running back at 12, doesn't ever do anything. Like Rashad Penny, literally, you could trace him back. That is where the franchise started dipping from when they were elite.
Yeah, they definitely messed up with that one, even though he looked like a guy that could be good if he could stay healthy.
I'd like to go back and look at that draft and see who they could have drafted there and how it would have affected it.
Gosh, I don't even know. How long has it been since he's been drafted?
Like 5 years, I think.
Yeah. Interesting question. What draft pick was Rashad Penny? He was 27th overall in 2018. So clearly, not really that long ago, honestly. So
seems all the injuries make a player seem a lot older than he is.
Yeah. I don't know. He's barely even played, you know?
Yeah.
He's definitely a bust. For a first rounder.
Amari Cooper will be playing tonight against the Saints. But in other news, Alvin Kamara will not be playing tonight against the Saints. So I personally am loading up on the Cowboys this week. 4.5. I feel like the Cowboys are every other game anyways right now. Just back and forth with their offense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say, honestly, going Cowboys in this game makes sense. I mean, they're reeling. They need a big win at this point. You've got Taysom Hill coming into this game, obviously. going to take over for Trevor Siemian, who's been at quarterback. At least that's what they're saying so far. I don't know if that's been made, you know, if that's been finalized or whatnot by Sean Payton. But I know his rush yards total and like player props has continued to go up for Taysom Hill. So somebody knows something about something. And that's really the dynamic ability that, you know, we want to see at the quarterback position for the Saints to help them in the run game. But it kind of helps if you have Alvin Kamara, right? But if you have, is Mark Ingram good to go?
Mark Ingram is a go. And Mark Ingram has been no slouch this year since returning to the Saints. He has been actually looks like his old self kind of in this offense.
Yeah. Now his downhill running ability will benefit them a lot, I think, in this game. And they're going to need it because the way the Cowboys are able to get pressure, you know, off the edge right now with Micah Parsons is pretty incredible for a guy who is predominantly a linebacker, right? So, you know, honestly, if you're able to get downhill in the run game and pick up 3-4 yards a pop here and there when you need it to keep your quarterback ahead of the chains, keep your offense ahead of the chains, and Taysom Hill can make some plays with his legs. And quite honestly, I think the Cowboys defense, for as much as they have improved year over year, they're still not a great defense. They're an opportunistic defense. They come up with, you know, big plays in key moments when they need them. I think that the Saints can do some damage. I think this game might actually be a little bit more, you know, high scoring than what people may think it comes out to. I'm not sure the over under in this particular game. Do you have that in front of you by chance? I'll pull it up if not.
Yes. The it's Saints are getting 5.5 at home.
Oh yeah, for the spread. So the over under in this.
My biggest thing is Taysom Hill. Michael Thomas really helped Taysom Hill a lot. There's not like a short yardage guy. Like the slant is the bailout for Taysom Hill because he has a strong arm. He could throw that. Who's there to bail him out? There's no one that he can key on to throw the ball to. And Kamara's not playing.
Well, I mean, Traquan Smith, he's good. He's healthy. He's a downfield guy who can make plays.
Callaway, too.
Callaway. Deontay Harris is kind of your underneath guy that can make plays after the catch, and he can get downfield, too, if you want to use him in that way. I think it'll be interesting to see what Taysom Hill is going to look like, and are they going to be conservative with play calling, or are they going to try to – because Taysom Hill knows the playbook, right? Like he knows it from the wide receiver position or their H-back position or and the quarterback position. So he knows it every which way. So you would imagine that Sean Payton has a wider array or variety of options with him at quarterback, so including his ability to run the football. So we'll see how it goes. I'm willing to bet they're going to try to challenge Micah Parsons in the run game a little bit with Taysom Hill potentially, but I wouldn't bet on winning that battle.
And
you're fine. You know, you're going to try to challenge him, especially if he's on the edge of the defense for the Cowboys in this particular game. Maybe you're running some zone read stuff. You're trying to get downhill with Mark Ingram and you're trying to get Taysom Hill to the outside on the edge. But like I just said, you don't want to challenge a player like that too often because you might lose those battles. But yeah.
So in other huge news for the quarterback play, DeMarcus Lawrence will be returning from the IR.
Okay. Tonight. Well, there you go. So that helps the Cowboys even more because you add Lawrence back to the equation. Then you've got Parsons. So you could probably have both those guys on the edge, especially in like third down opportunity. So if it's third and obvious and passing, you could have both those guys playing on the edge. And then in other situations, you can move Micah back to the middle to help in run support, potentially in the middle of your defense. So yeah, that helps open things up a lot. That's going to be interesting to watch. I want to see what they do defensively with that. That helps me lean a little bit more towards the Cowboys. Same. I just don't know if they cover in this one.
I think they do because I think Taysom Hill makes some bad decisions here throwing the ball.
Yeah, obviously there's a reason why he hasn't been.
Yeah, totally.
Out there. That they're not comfortable.
Diggs is the type of guy that he'll think he can take advantage of and then boom.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, he is that kind of a corner. He's a risk taker.
Yeah.
And at the quarterback position, if you're he may bait you into something, you know, he may bait you into something where he's, you know, behind the receiver and he's just kind of waiting for you to make that throw. And Taysom Hill is not making an accurate throw. It's underthrown or thrown in just off target slightly. And that's your opportunity right there.
Yeah, guys. Also, all season we've been preaching how good this guy is. Oh, the line has moved to Dallas minus six now.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It started off at 5.5, so it's moved up.
Well, they got Cooper back. They got Irving back. It makes sense.
And you said it, out. From your viewpoint, it was what, 4.5 at one point?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's been some swings.
Yeah.
In that regard.
But guys, we've said it all year. Micah Parsons, like when we talk about watching greatness as a rookie, like you are watching a future Hall of Famer as long as he stays healthy. Micah Parsons, this kid is absolutely a freak. Tune in tonight. This is his introduction to the world. Like, it's under the bright lights Thursday night. Yeah. This is, even though he played on Thanksgiving, like, I have a feeling tonight he's going to do some special stuff, especially against running quarterback Taysom Hill. Like, he has a speed. Right. He can track downhill from anywhere on the field.
Right. And that's why you draft a guy like that, is to give you that ability to track down some of the more athletic quarterbacks that we're seeing in the NFL. Not the guys who are just trying to make plays running the football, not just for a Lamar Jackson, not just for a Taysom Hill, but for other quarterbacks like Mahomes and those guys that like to run around a lot. If you're sending that guy after him, they're not going to be running for too long. They're not going to escape Micah Parsons, right? Running around in the backfield trying to make plays. So, yeah.
I need CeeDee Lamb to have a legendary night tonight. Like, absolutely legendary.
Well, I mean, I think it really does help when Cooper is out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It really does. It helps your it forces the defense to not, they have to choose who they're going to defend, who they're going to give extra attention to, because both those guys could have a monster game if you're giving them man to man a ton. Mm-hmm. Right. So Cooper helps in a big way. And that helps Dak.
100%. Yeah. It makes it a lot easier for him. Tony Pollard looked electric last week. He is the backup, but that is someone else also to watch who might also still be out there somehow on your fantasy waivers. And that is a guy that must be rostered come playoff time. Because God forbid Ezekiel Elliott goes down, Tony Pollard turns into a top 10 running back.
Yeah, I think that Pollard might get some opportunities as a receiver tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been looking electric as a receiver, too.
So I feel like if you're a defensive coordinator and you're facing the Cowboys, you're going to take whatever check downs you can force them into. And you might see Pollard out on the field more often than not just because of that. So I wouldn't look at him from a running back standpoint, but as a receiver.
Heck yeah. All right, Brandon. Cowboys minus six against the Saints. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go Cowboys.
I'm going to go Saints to cover. The six is a lot more than 4.5.
I know, but there's a reason the line is moving the way it's moving. The Cowboys are coming off of some bad performances.
And they've been Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde every other game, kind of. But the Saints do seem like they're like starting to spin around the toilet bowl a little bit. Like the flush has been hit and it might just go straight down the pipe.
Yeah, it feels like this is
they an should just start losing. I don't think they're not going to do anything in the playoffs. Like, they need a good draft pick.
Yeah, I know.
If they could get one of those Ohio State wide receivers.
Oh. Yeah.
Or they're probably going to have to trade the pick if they go after like Russell Wilson or somebody.
This is how I view this draft. And this goes for several teams. And I'll throw this out there. Like, the Saints kind of fall into this category where they could be, you know, at or around 500 and getting like a middling first round pick. I'm not even sure. I haven't even looked at what they have pick wise already, but the quarterback position, they definitely want to consider that. Maybe you go into next year thinking Taysom Hill is your guy, but maybe you're looking at a guy who's there in the middle of the draft or the middle of the first round or late first round. Maybe a Kenny Pickett falls in your lap. Maybe somebody like that falls into your lap and you're like, wait a minute, we got to take a shot, right? This is a guy that we could take. So I feel that way about the Steelers. And there's other teams that I'll examine eventually, but I feel like this is one of those drafts where a quarterback could land in the perfect spot that we may not deem as a great player in this draft that will end up in the perfect spot that will make him look like a great player. So
Do the Saints bring back Jameis next year? The team loves him.
I honestly, if you can't draft a guy, I would.
Yeah.
Why would you get rid of a guy who arguably he's an NFL starter.
He didn't have a wide receiver either. Like none of these guys are good.
Out of all 32 teams, he's definitely one of the best 32 that you can put out there at quarterback.
He's in the high, low 20s, like 20.
There you go.
First. Yeah.
And I know you would already replace Baker Mayfield with him.
Oh, Baker's.
You'd probably replace Teddy B.
Here, let's play a game. Who would you rather have starting? Baker Mayfield. Let me pull up. This is how we'll close out this episode. All right. So, guys, you would rather have than Baker Mayfield. I'm just going to throw you some names. Let me scroll down the list because I don't need to give anyone up at the top. Taylor Heinicke or Baker Mayfield?
I go Baker.
I might go Taylor Heinicke.
It's close. It's close the way that Baker's performing right now.
Daniel Jones or Baker Mayfield?
Oh, Baker.
I'm taking Daniel just for the rushing. And that's
like unprecedented. That's unprecedented. Brandon,
that tells you how much I'm out on Baker. I'd take Daniel Jones.
I mean, does it get lower than that?
Jalen Hurts or Baker Mayfield?
Ooh. Well, man. I'd probably go. It's probably Jalen Hurts, maybe. I don't want to say that definitively.
I know. The rushing is elite, though. He at least has an elite characteristic.
Baker he can give you that added dimension that Baker can't give you, but they don't really need that in Cleveland. So I'll go Baker. It's close.
Baker Mayfield or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, Tua.
Really?
Yeah, I still believe in him. I still thought that he was right there with Joe Burrow in that draft, even after the injury. The whole Trent Dilfer working with him every offseason has been pretty awesome. And Dilfer has been a mouthpiece for him. So it's hard to, you got to take it with a grain of salt, right? And think maybe he's just pumping him up because he's coaching him in the off seasons. But I do believe that Tua has tools. And look, the Patriots, if they could have got Tua just as easily as they got Mac Jones where they got him, that's where Tua would probably be.
Yeah, no, that's true. Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. Not even close.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Before the season, Baker.
Yeah, but
right now in this moment, 21-5. Carson. Yeah, I'd go Carson right now.
Teddy Bridgewater, last one.
Oh, Baker.
Come on, bro. Really? At least Teddy's not going to lose you games.
Nah. Well, I mean,
have you looked at Baker's stat line this year?
Can Teddy play in that Browns offense successfully? You think?
Probably. Honestly, play action. Yeah.
He might be able to. Just getting the ball vertical.
Baker Mayfield, 62% completion rate, 2,400 yards, 11 touchdowns, 6 picks.
So, I mean, it's not like the – but you got to understand, the dude is broken to pieces. I don't know what they're going to do, man.
I mean, he didn't have good stats last year either. He had a good second half last year, which gave me hope that he might flip it around, but he didn't.
My argument is the Browns haven't had a better quarterback since Bernie Kosar, so –
Yeah, I mean, I think this offense, specifically this offense, Case Keenum would be better for them.
I don't know about that. If he was, he'd be playing. I thought, listen, Woody, last year before the season started, I thought the whole Case Keenum coming in to this Browns offense was Stefanski's way of saying, if Baker messes up, Keenum's going to come in because Keenum knows my offense.
Yeah.
And Keenum's been there, done that, and it never really...
I'm just so afraid for this Browns franchise that has been losers for over a decade. We're going on 2 decades. Just
sometimes you are what you are forever.
Friggin' losers, Brandon. And I love the lovable losers. I've been rooting for them to do good. When Derek Anderson was there, they had Josh Gordon. They were looking fun. That was the young, fun Browns.
Look, man, they had young Bill Belichick as their coach in the mid-90s or whatever, and that didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. But if they sign Baker Mayfield to a long-term deal for $20 million, like how a starting quarterback's wage is a season, that is going to put a rhinestone around the franchise. And they, like as the Bible says, it is better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. They will never recover from that.
Do you think that they could get him on a discount?
Baker, stay home. Maybe after a season like this, Maybe. I just don't get if it doesn't make sense to me that they're still throwing him out there with himself so banged up like this. Because if you were gonna re-sign him, you would protect the asset. This is why I think they're gonna not.
Well, see, I look at it differently. I look at it as, man, they really just don't trust Case Keenum to be able to. They feel like they can win. They still can win games and get into the playoffs, and they don't feel like Keenum is the answer. So
I don't know if it's his height, but just watching Baker in the pocket, he only sees half the field.
I don't know, honestly, what they're gonna do. I can't tell you, Woody. What I would do is I would hold on to him as long as I can until I can figure out what
options are
there.
This team
needs
to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. He has already been in a power running offense, which they featured in New England. This is exact perfect fit for Jimmy Garoppolo.
So where does Baker end up if he's not there anymore?
Someone's going to give him money. Like you've said, New Orleans.
The Saints.
Sean Payton wanted him. Sean Payton loves the project. Taysom, he loves building up a guy. He did the same for Breeze. He turned Breeze into a Hall of Famer. Breeze has had like an all pro season in San Diego. Then he had a shoulder surgery, but Sean Payton made him into a Hall of Famer. He went from all pro to one of the greats in that offense. He's built up Taysom Hill. He's been fascinated with Jameis Winston. I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Payton brought him in like, yeah, no, I could turn this guy around.
Yeah, that's I would expect that to happen. That would be.
It'd be fun.
That'd be probably better for Baker.
Yeah, and Baker would look good doing the who dat in the black and gold, dude. Yeah, you'd have some swag with it. It'd be great.
Yeah, I can see that being something. Yep.
Right on.
I like it.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap up our Thursday Night Football preview. Brandon and I went with the Cowboys, and I went with the Saints. Not feeling great about it, but the spread's a little big for me. And then what did our esteemed colleague CJ go with? He did
Cowboys.
Cowboys to cover. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. As always, check out Football Scout 365. Check out the NBA podcast, guys. Me and Coach Mel Taylor, it's been going really good. We're on like episode 4, had some good guests. It's pretty cash, having a lot of fun with it, but we're talking some good NBA stuff over there. It's on the feed, check it out. Newest
what
episode.
Was your last episode about? Most recent one?
The title is called Big Juicy Top 75. Okay. And the reason is because we had hip hop homework. We give each other an artist to listen to over a couple weeks, and then we report back on what we heard. And he made me listen to the infamous Juice WRLD, the kid who overdosed like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Very like the Blink 182 of hip hop. And I gave him Big Crit.
Big Crit?
Big Crit, yeah.
Crit. I've heard him.
He's one of my favorite rappers. He's like he's pretty much the guy that took the mantle from like Outkast and the Goody Mob and the Dungeon Family. All those like Southern rappers.
Who was he first signed by? Like
FJM.
I feel like
they had him like put up on the shelf for a while.
All right. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody. Well, I've heard that name. And I've probably seen, or he's probably done some sort of a collaboration on a song or something.
Yeah, yeah, you've definitely heard him. He's been around.
Yeah. All right,
but yeah, check it out, guys. So, and then we go over the top 75, the NBA lists, and the biggest snubs. It's been a really fun time, and we have a new guest coming up this week. We'll be having on Dylan Monk, internet personality, fantasy extraordinaire. He's a co-fantasy manager with me and Dan. Dan the man on a fantasy basketball team. So that's pretty fun this year.
I didn't even know about that.
Oh, yeah.
How's that going?
It's been pretty fun. Dylan's really good at fantasy basketball. He's really good at matchup play and keeping up with the lineups and everything. I've had a lot of fun.
Because you got to make changes a lot.
A lot of changes. Nightly. Yeah. Nightly checks. So it's good to have a couple dudes per team, honestly.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, guys. But thanks for tuning in. And check out the NBA podcast. It's on the feed. And we'll see you next time. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. Let the music hit.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.